Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
He still has a higher K per nine than Corbin Burns, which is kind of surprising, even though he doesn't get a lot of strikeouts. And also the lowest walk rate in baseball among qualified starters. So the walk rate is still really good. He's just not the strikeout guy that we thought. I feel like he tinkers too much. It definitely feels like he's in his own head way too much, for sure. So I get that he's frustrating. Still really good. He just is not, you know, Chris Sale. He's not going to overpower you and get a million strikeouts and, you know, put up those huge weeks that you need specifically in head-to-head, right? You need those big weeks in head-to-head. I think Roto is more Kirby speed because over the full season, you get the benefits of all of it for the whole year, not just like in a week-to-week basis. So I maybe there's a little more head-to-head or Roto to him than head-to-head because of that, you know, the way that he pitches and the way that he goes about his business.
Yeah, he can ruin your weeks.
Right, right, exactly. Or just like not give you that big, if you're picking a pitcher this high, you want someone in head-to-head that can win you a
Yeah,
and
well,
he's
check
not
this
going
out.
To do that.
I here's a couple alarming things I'm going to put into my notes. I must have missed 3 months of the, what is it? The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the March. Let's not even count March of the 6 months. 3 of those months, he had a 4 or higher ERA. 2 of those months had a 5 or higher ERA. His ERA jumped from 3.29 in the first to 3.93 in the second. But this, here's an alarming one. So he has a little bit of a home road split, 3.06 ERA at home, 3.89 on the road. Nothing to scream about. If a pitcher had that, you're like, oh, that's a 3.5 ERA guy. He gave up 5 homers at home in about 20 more innings, gave up 17 road homers. So, I mean, that seems more ballpark dependent on his home ballpark factor, because if you're on the road, and you're in more hitter-friendly environments, and you're giving up you're taking what I can do in Seattle, tinkering, throwing in the zone, giving up contact, and you're taking that on the road in destinations you can't do that. Let's focus on that, Kirby. Like, all your tinkering and fixing and changing and stuff, you can't pitch the way you pitch at home on the road. And he gave up 17 road homers compared to 5 at home. Those are things that just... they kind of speak to me a little bit about, like, you're, like you said, your early investment. And then the last thing, remember what I just did with Chris Sale on the innings, the ERA per inning?
Mm-hmm.
3.82 first inning, 1.9 second inning, 4.36 in the third, 5.29 in the fourth, 1.21 in the fifth, 4.7 in the sixth. If you ever did first five with George Kirby, you're well aware of that fourth inning ERA. I think he's an incredibly like talented pitcher that has stuff that is not quite worked on, and he's always working on stuff. And I think there's some warning signs in there from spending a top seven starting pitcher. I'm not going to do. I'm not saying he's garbage, but top 10, I'll tell you right now, I do not have Kirby as a top 10 starting pitcher this year. And he is seven on NFBC's board.
Yeah, and I think that's fair. And I think, yeah, the thing with him is we don't dislike Kirby. It's we dislike the price of Kirby. That's really what it is. And, you know, I'm right there with you. He's probably not going to be in, or I'm sorry, I think, yeah, Kirby. He's not going to be in my top 10 either.
A player that I have much higher than this, but I'm still a little torn on a couple pieces, is Garrett Crochet. Garrett Crochet, yeah, he did get traded. That was one of the big trades that kind of affected at least this range of us talking about. He gets traded to Boston from Chicago. Last year had a 6-12 record, a 3.58 ERA, had a phenomenal 2.85 expected ERA. One of the best K percentage in baseball, top 2% tile of the league, 35.1% K percentage, only a 5.5% walk rate on him. Some other notes that I ended up having, his fastball was 97.2. He added a mile per hour year over year, 33% K percentage. That's an elite fastball. We talked about Tarik Skubal, who was 32% four-seam fastball, and Skeens was 37%. He was 33%. Cutter sat at 91%, not a ton of break on it, but it was harder. Had over 30% K percentage, or actually did have a lot of break if you watch it, but there's the categorical like the metric on it. 30% K percentage, 33% whiff. That sweeper, 84 miles per hour, had a 50% K percentage, but he just threw it 9% of the time, a 132 stuff plus. Something I would note, maybe you see more sweepers and kind of sliders in general. Something I wanted to throw at you. All right, here's two other pieces. Sorry. Every pitch he threw had a 30% plus whiff and K percentage. The opposite of Kirby. Yeah. You're telling me Kirby, who doesn't have a 30% whiff rate on a single pitch, anything Garrett Crochet had not only a 30% whiff, but a K percentage. Here,
yeah,
was Kirby, a warning sign. Well, I have
Kirby
one warning sign.
Is okay. Crafting you, and then Crochet is just overpowering you.
But here is the one negative to maybe think about with Garrett Crochet, who goes to better team, better offense, better defense, a tougher division. But here you go. Yeah. Boston, overall second best ballpark factor for hitters in general. The White Sox, 21st. For right-handed hitters, Boston is second. Chicago was 13th. So what I'm getting at is, as a left-handed pitcher who's going to face a lot of right-handed pitchers, they're going to put righties more in the lineup. The ballpark factor in general isn't as dangerous overall when you're going right-handers, but it is still dramatic. I mean, second best. I shouldn't say that. It's the second best overall and against right-handed ballpark factor in Boston for a left-handed hitter. So what works positively for him is how freaking good he was in general. And what works negatively is just overall, like what you have to do. He gave up a 9.2% barrel rate. That's way too much. I don't like that. Batting average, though, expected batting average was 204. So I guess, like, again, what I'm worried about is if you give up a lot of barrels and the batting average goes up in a very hitter friendly ballpark for right-handed hitters, maybe that's not like a super, super positive for him to be like the best pitcher in baseball. All of that said, I am banking on the stuff with Crochet right over the ballpark, and I have him as a top five SP on my fantasy ranks currently.
Yeah, I mean, shut down in the second half, but the ERA did spike there as well. 302 and 107 in a third, 5.12 second half ERA, only 38.2 innings pitched. I think that was a lot of what we talked about with Luis Robert in the last episode, though, right? It's the White Sox. You know you're going to get traded in the offseason. They knew they were going to trade him or, you know, extend him either way. Either way, they didn't want to waste his arm on the worst team that has ever played last year. So they shut him down. But as you mentioned, top 10% in xWOBA, K percent, and expected ERA. Mainly a two-pitch pitcher with the two-seam and the cutter. I thought it was weird that he scrapped the sweeper so much. 28.1% in 23 to 9.8%.
That's what I just 24. Said. Like, I think it was a dominant pitch. And they only use it 9%, but I thought it was like 50% K percentage. He's going to use it more.
The average dropped on it just a couple points from last year to this year too. So I don't know. I think you get into a better organization. They're going to, help you with, although I think I read that. Yeah. No plans changes to his mix. Crochet said last Friday, he doesn't intend to have any radical changes pitch mix for the upcoming season. So
I wonder if that, so people speculate, because I think the Red Sox are known like with good slider stuff. I wonder if that is, he's speaking to a change of his pitch, like altering a pitch or adding a pitch and not to the usage, because I mean, frankly, the results were there. I just wouldn't be surprised if maybe you saw that sweeper usage go up. And I think that's potentially on the table, but I don't know. Like, he's dominant. He looks crazy. From individual pitch mix metrics, it reads like Tarek Skubal and Paul Skene. So I think there's a lot of upside there. So I'm ranking him quite high. There's still some
other. I'll be higher on him too. Yeah.
Yeah.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin, grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.
Odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
This is, I think, the most fascinating one of all. We already know exactly, as soon as I say his name, what your feelings are going to be. But Jacob deGrom comes at no cheap cost this year. He is SP9 on the board for NFBC. He is inside the top 40. Jacob DeGrom, very little last year. He only had 10 innings. He was dumb. I think the only thing that people cared about was did his stuff look like it used to in those innings? And fastball was 97.3. That was down a mile and a half per hour, but the K percentage was on par. Slider, 90 miles per hour. That was also down a mile and a half per hour. K percentage, down from 48 to 23.8%. But remember, it's only 10 innings. He was throwing more in the zone than ever in those small amount of innings. I want to point out, I have an injury thing. Like, as you all know, he's had not had more than 92 innings since 2019. That's a problem with him. But on the stuff, I would actually say, for the most part, that's fine. He was throwing more strikes because he probably felt he didn't quite have all the stuff as the mile per hours were down. He wasn't getting as many whiffs, but it's a very short sample size. I take that as a very positive sign. I think some people are going to focus on the pitches being down a bit and be like, hey, here you go. I think the stuff is there, but he is the Mike Trout of pitchers. Like, you are battling elite, elite ass stuff versus constant injuries. He has 105.1 innings if you combine the last 3 years together. That's not good. He's 36 years old. That's not good. But his stuff, it still looks elite, especially if that fastball and slider usage comes up a little bit. Unfortunately, we might not know what that looks like until spring. If you come back in spring and he's back to 98.5 on the fastball and 91 on the slider, he's back with that stuff. But if the stuff comes down, I do worry he's going to feel compelled to throw a little bit more strikes and maybe gets hit up more. But I don't think it's anything about any of that garbage. It's all going to be about who is comfortable investing a top 10 starting pitcher cost into Grom with his injury history versus he could be the absolute number one starting pitcher on the board if he plays the whole year.
It's what makes him the hardest guy to rank, most likely, is we just don't know where that innings pitched mark is going to be. And do they have a plan for it? And, you know, the thing that frustrates me about DeGrom is I think the stuff will all come back. I think he'll be okay with that. I do agree with you, like the potential for him, you know, to be a little more in the zone because he's not getting the results he wants, you know, in this cup of coffee, he only had 10 innings. So this is really the bounce back for him. My frustration is obviously innings and the cost that you have to invest in him. And it's not so much that I think he's going to, you know, blow up and the whole season is going to be dead for him again. I really don't think so. I do think the Rangers are going to baby him a lot. I think you're going to see start skipped, anything happens, he's going to be on a early season pitch limit most likely as well. So there's just going to be a lot of babying of him and potential skip starts. And then you add the injury stuff on top of that. I don't think I would avoid him this year. I think most players like this, I definitely have that. I'm not dealing with them. You know, I'm not going to take a maybe injured guy into the season or an injury prone player into the season and expect to bank on him. I just don't like this cost. If the cost came down a little bit more, I would invest in DeGrom, but he's just going too high for where I'm comfortable right now.
I would love it if
and
it
he's
was,
just going to go up, I feel like, too.
Yeah, no, as he's healthy, he's going to go. I would love it if it was like SP15 outside the top 50. It would be a perfect slam, but people aren't. NFBC isn't letting it happen. It'll be interesting where the ranks go. Real quick on him, what are his projected innings? Because I'm going to say they're going to go one. Oh, man, I wouldn't be surprised if it's 130. I'm going to say 120.
Take out 152. So 206 strikeouts.
I mean, when was the last time he had 150 innings? I mean, look, 2019.
Yeah. And he had 255 strikeouts and 204 innings.
I mean, to be fair, he had 200 straight innings, three straight years from 17 to 19. But I mean, you know, he hasn't, like, we had a pandemic before, like a pandemic has gone and come out before he's hit that. Like, since that happened, he hasn't been able to pitch those innings. And he's 36 years old. I think that's a bit high. I don't know if I can have him in the top 10 just based off of the risk, but that's, again, that's kind of a rank thing. But, you know, from what we did see, things were down. Take that with you. I think things will adjust just a tiny bit. Next up, we have got number 10 on the NFBC board is Dylan Cease, who got traded to the San Diego Padres and might get traded again, as people are talking. 3.47 ERA, 14-11 record, 189 innings. He has been a pillar of consistency of innings, which is a very big positive for him. Expected ERA was 3.31, so that was better. 29.4% K percentage was up 2%. Walk 8.5 was down 2%. 121 stuff plus. Point out, that's the exact same number as Logan Gilbert, which is fun. He did get hit harder. Max and barrel rate against were up. 4% less zone contact rate against, though, which is a positive. He added a mile per hour on his fastball, 96.9. Slider added a mile per hour at 87.7%. Also, his K percentage went up to 39% on the slider, and batting average was just 180. He got better in the second half after being traded, 3.99 ERA, 2.66 second, but he did have a tiny road home splits, like a 3 ERA at home, 3.83 on the road. Dylan Cease has his moments of absolute freaking blow up monsters. And then he also is becoming more consistent, I guess is a better way to put it. He didn't have a game where he gave up. Well, I guess, let me say this better. From
brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
July 7th on, he had only 3 games where he gave up more than 3 earned runs, and that's saying something for him, while having, I mean, countless 8-plus strikeout games on Dylan Cease. So he's I don't know if it's the floor. I think the ceiling is pretty big. The floor maybe is still a tiny bit in question with Dylan Cease, but he's SP10 on this list, going just outside the top 40.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I generally come in at least 15 minutes late. I use the side door. After that, I just sort of space out for about an hour.
Space out?
I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
Would you
be a good sport and indulge us and just tell us a little more? Let me tell you something about
In This League.
Max and barrel rate against were up. 4% less zone contact rate against, though, which is a positive. He added a mile per hour on his fastball, 96.9. Slider added a mile per hour at 87.7%. Also, his K percentage went up to 39% on the slider, and batting average was just 180. He got better in the second half after being traded, 3.99 ERA, 2.66 second, but he did have a tiny road home splits, like a 3 ERA at home, 3.83 on the road. Dylan Cease has his moments of absolute freaking blow up monsters. And then he also is becoming more consistent, I guess is a better way to put it. He didn't have a game where he gave up. Well, I guess, let me say this better. From July 7th on, he had only 3 games where he gave up more than 3 earned runs. And that's saying something for him, while having, I mean, countless 8-plus strikeout games on Dylan Cease. So he's I don't know if it's the floor. I think the ceiling is pretty big. The floor maybe is still a tiny bit in question with Dylan Cease, but he's SP10 on this list, going just outside the top 40.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, change the some of the pitches here, the knuckle curve drop. Four seam average dip from 273 to 235, and the slider average drop from 216 to 159, and his ERA in the second half went from 399 in the first half to 266. So he just got better as the year went on, too. It seems like whatever he found in the second half clicked. He ran with it, and it all worked very well. So all encouraging signs for Dylan Cease this year. Another guy that'll move ahead of some of these other dudes that'll be just higher on the list for me.
You just want him to kind of stay in San Diego. It's a big one, but a lot of good encouraging changes, which make you feel good. Also on the change board is number 11, Cole Reagans. He's like one spot after. So these guys are like right next to each other. Definitely didn't have the elite season that many thought, but it was still a good season. 3.14 ERA, 11-9 record, 186 innings. Those are all just big pluses. Great whiff and strikeout rates. Didn't give up a lot of hard hit, but some of the other stuff kind of lagged. Like he was getting chases down. Like, still, again, this is really good. But max EV was like he gave up like 115. 3.31 expected ERA is solid. Expected batting average was solid in general. My only other notes on him, fastball went down a mile per hour. 95.4, that was down a mile per hour. K percentage also went down 6% on his four-seam fastball. Maybe questions about the stuff in general. We wanted the slider, but here's one positive about consistency. He had a 3 ERA every month of the season. Never varied. I mean, you want consistency? Yeah. How about a 3 ERA every single freaking month with some high K percentage numbers? I didn't mention that, by the way. 29.3%, that was higher than the year prior, and an 8% walk rate, which almost looked exactly the same as Dylan Cease too.
I know they're pretty similar. And, you know, the fact that the mile per hour on his, some of his pitches went down, I mean, he threw 186 in the third innings. It's the most by a lot that he's ever thrown. So I think that's probably more of what it was the longevity and all of the starts. He did start 32 games. So, but Reagans, like you said, very, very stable pitcher, a lot like Cease. Like, you know, there are holes to poke. There's nits to pick. You know, can he do it again? Because we have not seen him repeat it by far the most innings he's ever pitched. So, yes, there are some holes, but very good pitcher, a guy that should land you an ERA somewhere in the mid threes and get you 200 strikeouts, right? And that's what more can you ask for from some of these guys?
So I really love this next one in this group, this talking. This is actually a really fascinating group. Whoa. If you think about DeGrom, Cease, and Reagans, and then now let's throw in Blake Snell. Hydrated, baby. Blake Snell, clearly, and the main narrative about him is it's a tale of two seasons. He had a 6.31 first half ERA, 1.45 ERA in the second half, which is crazy. Overall, 3.12 ERA, 2.57 expected ERA. That's elite. 34.7 K percentage, elite. That was up 3%. 10.6 walk percentage, that was down 3%. That's really good for him. Career low, 172 expected batting average. That was one of the best in the league. So he was not giving up average. He was striking out more. He walked less.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Wait, let me explain something to you. I am not
in this league.
You're
in this league.
I'm the dude.
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
28.9% hard hit rate, the lowest of the league, and his career fastball had a 200 batting average against. He threw more curves, which also could not get hit. Fastball K percentage went up from 18.9 to 25%. It legit is elite. And remembering that was a first half, like 6 ERA where he was garbage.
Yes.
I got to tell you, the more that you stare and you look at it, Blake Snell ranks 12 on here at 53. I think there's a case that he should be top 10, if not even a tiny bit higher.
He should be the first pitcher right behind Chris Sale. is what I think. Like, he came off the Cy Young season. He had the Scott Boras agent thing. It didn't work out. The first half was a total disaster. And then we just see him go right back to being a Cy Young type of guy in the second half, right? He was number one in K per nine in the second half, 13.57. The second highest was Kikuchi at 11.5. His second half was nuts. It's definitely not repeatable. This was insane, but top 10% in exit velo, expected batting average, expected slugging, WOBA, XWOBA, XWOBAcon, hard hit, K percentage, expected ERA, top 10 in all of those with a miserable first half. So, I'm not the biggest Sale fan right now. Snell fan right now. I don't like that he signed with the Dodgers and all of that. It's a great spot for him to end up into. Just for fantasy, he is being drafted, I feel like, way too low. Maybe he's a little more risky than people like. He doesn't go deep into games. I get it. But it's been, the Cy Young year and then the bad first half and then a Cy Young second half led all pitchers in war in the second half. And, just put up insane numbers here. I think he needs to be going way higher than this.
Yeah. I mean, the only things I'd throw out here, you mentioned, okay, so if the Dodgers go to a 6-man rotation and he's affected by that, that's a little bit of a ding. I've said this kind of countlessly, and I want to point this out. Remember, there's a ballpark factor thing in here. Right-handed hitters ballpark factor is the second best in baseball is the Dodgers. And, I didn't even think to look here. Let's take a guess here real quick. What do you think for right-handed hitters the ballpark factor is for the Giants?
28.
It is the fifth lowest in baseball at 26. So that's a pretty massive, massive difference. Now, I will say I was looking. Snell has never given up more than 16 homers in a single season. So it's not like he's getting demolished from that home run perspective. He only gave up 6 last year. Is that going to continue? Might be harder because, again, it is just such a better ballpark for right-handed hitters. So that's going to probably be about, what Snell can do to adjust that.
Not having to pitch against the Dodgers and having to pitch against the Giants instead. I think will help him a lot.
A lot of run support. Yeah. He did go, he actually went deeper into games this year. And to your point of what you were talking about, let's do the innings. 2.25 first ERA, 2.37 second, 3.79 third. Fourth is tricky for him. 5.5 ERA in the fourth. But then check this out. If he goes to the fifth, 3.38. In the sixth, 1.8. He only pitched 4 innings into the seventh this year, 2.08. And then obviously, he went to that ninth and that amazing start. So, I look at Blake Snell, and maybe there's fool's gold. And, he definitely has one of the biggest volatility blow up sides to it. But I agree with you. He has to be a top 10. He's got to be a top 10. He'll be in my top 10, and you just cross your fingers. And from a cost-based perspective, he actually might be one of the best prices of any of these guys. So only a couple more that we're going to hit in this one. Another fellow Dodger, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, comes in as the 13th pitcher on NFBC. 7-2 record, 3 ERA and only 90 innings pitched. Only had 18 starts this past year. Yamamoto ended up having a 28.5% K percentage, a 6% walk rate, higher expected ERA at 3.44, pretty high barrel rate in general. If you're kind of looking at any of these guys, only other notes I can throw at you. He had fastball was very, very hittable this past year. Split finger, that was the pitch, 42% K percentage. He used it 24% of the time. He had some crazy road splits, and this kind of speaks back to Snell. 3.88 home ERA, remember, ballpark factor? 2.06 on the road. That's a wild. That's almost a 2 ERA home road split. So, the home ballpark factor just kind of hits some of these pitchers, something to think about with Snell. I look at Yamamoto and I go, it's fine. I don't know if I like the cost. There's some pitchers that are lower that may be even a tiny bit better, but there's some shades of eliteness that he likes to throw out there. Anything else you want to add on Yamamoto?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the big thing there was just anything that was fast got hit by him. The four-seamer 262, the cutter 350, the sinker 364 all hit well. The split 170 is best pitch by a lot. The curve 214, the slider 158. And as you mentioned, the big thing, he did miss a big grip of the year too, from June 16th to September 10th. He was out with the shoulder injury. They eased him back in. He did look good in the playoffs, 18.2 playoff innings, 3.86 ERA, a 15-6 K to walk percentage. So I'm not worried about him coming in, even though he had the shoulder injury last season, because he looked so good in the playoffs. Yeah, I think this is probably about where he belongs. Good, you know, maybe we see a nice adjustment for him. It's a lot to adjust to in your first year, right? You have the whole culture shock. You have, you know, different stadiums. You're traveling way more. You're playing more games. You're trying to go deeper into games. You're trying to live up to this gigantic contract. There's a lot that goes into it. So maybe we see him calm down and look a little better. But maybe the league has seen him once and now knows how to get to him. So I think he's going to be okay. I think this is where exactly where he belongs. Maybe a little bit lower, but in this area, I think is right where he needs to go.
A pitcher that's right next to him that I think is fascinating, number 14 on this list, is Gerrit Cole, and I got him higher. Cole last year, 3.41 ERA, expected was 3.64, so a little bit worse, still in the mids. 25.4% K percentage, that was down 1.5, which is not good, and his walks were up 7.4. That was the highest since 2018. 95.9 average fastball, that went down almost 1 mile per hour. Also, the usage went down from 53 to 45%. He threw more curves and he cut the slider. So here are the interesting things. First half, 5.4 ERA. That was around 24 innings. And if you remember, came back early. There were some worries about like him coming back and early, and it struggled. Well, in the second half, about 70-something innings, 2.76 ERA. Also, bad home road splits, 4.3 home ERA was great on the road, 2.49. So I kind of look at that and I say, oh, age, there's some underlying stuff. His pitch mix was weird, but coming off of the injury, with Cole going after Yamamoto, I don't know, man. Like, I personally do not have it that way. That is how NFBC ranks are doing it. But now you're talking about this crew here that, like, I see Yamamoto and I'm like, oh, well, he kind of gets hit hard. He's got one really good, like, he's got one really good strikeout pitch. But I look at a guy like Gerrit Cole who came off the injury and it's like, yeah, he struggled early on, but then he kind of got really good and dominated. And maybe this offseason he can get that fastball back. That's why the usage went down. I think, you know, coming off of the injury, he had to rely on some of this other stuff as the fastball was as not effective. So the question is do you believe he's a regressed pitcher and has to do this? Or was this due to an injury that he came off of in season? And I think the latter. So yeah. I think Gerrit Cole has a personal, like, in my ranks, he will be higher than where he is going here.
I agree with you. And look, this is one where my stance on these players did backfire for me. Most of the time they don't. Most of the time a guy getting hurt going in.
Sports Grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
it. In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
I think he's going to be okay. I think this is where exactly where he belongs. Maybe a little bit lower, but in this area, I think is right where he needs to go.
A pitcher that's right next to him that I think is fascinating, number 14 on this list, is Gerrit Cole, and I got him higher. Cole last year, 3.41 ERA. Expected was 3.64. So a little bit worse, still in the mids. 25.4% K percentage. That was down 1.5, which is not good. And his walks were up 7.4. That was the highest since 2018. 95.9 average fastball. That went down almost 1 mile per hour. Also, the usage went down from 53 to 45%. He threw more curves and he cut the slider. So here are the interesting things. First half, 5.4 ERA. That was around 24 innings. And if you remember, came back early. There were some worries about like him coming back and early, and it struggled. Well, in the second half, about 70-something innings, 2.76 ERA. Also, bad home road splits. 4.3 home ERA was great on the road, 2.49. So I kind of look at that and I say, oh, age, there's some underlying stuff. His pitch mix was weird, but coming off of the injury, with Cole going after Yamamoto, I don't know, man. Like, I personally do not have it that way. That is how NFBC ranks are doing it. But now you're talking about this crew here that, like, I see Yamamoto and I'm like, oh, well, he kind of gets hit hard. He's got one really good, like, he's got one really good strikeout pitch. But I look at a guy like Gerrit Cole who came off the injury and it's like, yeah, he struggled early on, but then he kind of got really good and dominated. And maybe this offseason he can get that fastball back. That's why the usage went down. I think, you know, coming off of the injury, he had to rely on some of this other stuff as the fastball was as not effective. So the question is do you believe he's a regressed pitcher and has to do this? Or was this due to an injury that he came off of in season? And I think the latter. So yeah. I think Gerrit Cole has a personal, like in my ranks, he will be higher than where he is going here.
I agree with you. And look, this is one where my stance on these players did backfire for me. Most of the time they don't. Most of the time a guy getting hurt going in comes back late, gets hurt again, you know what I mean? Like, or it struggles, whatever it is. Gerrit Cole was a guy where when he got hurt, I was like, that's it. I'm not going to mess with him. I'm not going to trade for him. I am done with Gerrit Cole for 2024. And it did not work out. He was great in the second half. So I'm with you. I think we buried him a little bit too much because of the injury, and then the, you know, results weren't exactly what we liked. Still a very good pitcher. And like you said, the second half ERA dropped to 2.76 in 71 and two-thirds innings. He did have big home road splits, but man, I'm, like I said, I am just with you. The big drop in the four seam, I think, was because of the injury. I think he's going to be fine going in. He was fine in the playoffs. So I'll be back in on Cole, and he will be higher than this in my rankings as well.
The final one we're going to talk about is probably the one of the most popular pitchers in last preseason. He kept going up and up and everybody wanted him and it just didn't work out. It's Pablo Lopez, 4.08 ERA. I mean, almost half a run worse than the year prior. Most wins, 15 that he's had, 10 losses, had 185 innings. Definite consistency as far as him being able to get innings and stuff. But big regression on the strikeouts. He had a 29.2% the year prior with a 6% walk rate. Great. And he had a better expected ERA. This past year, K percentage dropped almost 4%, 25.6. He lowered his walks. His expected ERA was better than his ERA, but it was still 3.67. That is the actual ERA he had the year prior. So probably more of a 3.5 guy. He just regressed from the strikeouts, which really got people. Expected batting average went up, barrels went up. I mean, people were just hitting him harder in general. And some of that comes from, he had a big regressive fastball batting average the year prior. It was 268, expected was 222. This year it went down, but expected 248. So it kind of came back up. And then his sweeper also was such a, you know, great pitch. It regressed, you know, 173 batting average against the year prior, 239 this past year, but does have almost a 40 point expected lower batting average. So what I'm getting at is I think there are things to look at where you can go, oh, you know, he really could improve he could overall improve like those strikeout numbers, but was there anything in there to believe that he's going to become a dominant K percentage guy that people were going? He didn't have lower stuff. His fastball was 0.01 faster, but it just regressed as a pitch as well, did the sweeper and whatnot. So I think some of the shine comes off of him, but boy, is he better price this coming year.
Yeah. Yeah, it didn't work out, right? This is one of my biggest misses of the season, for sure, was I had invested a decent amount in Pablo Lopez, and that first half ERA was 5.11. He did lower it to 2.77 in the second half. So much, much better in the second half. I think he's, you know, being ignored just a little bit, but I do think that there is a line where Gerrit Cole is and the pitchers, you know, above him. And then there's this line. And I do think he currently right now belongs below that line, because in those improvements in the second half, the K per nine did drop a decent amount as well. So it went from 10.47 in the first half to 8.52. When the walk rate stayed exactly the same, 1.99 in the first half, 1.99 in the second half. So I think maybe the strikeouts are, you know, not going to be there. I think he's more in the George Kirby area, Corbin Burns area of K per nine there. So that comes off. That's why I think he belongs down here a little bit. But this, I feel like, is a good deal for Pablo Lopez, because there is meat on the bone. There could be a little bit of improvement as well, but I think this is probably exactly where he belongs. But a lot of people are doubting him, and I think he gets skipped. I don't know if he goes here in a lot of drafts. I think this is like knowledgeable NFBC players seeing that second half and going, okay, he's going to go pretty high here. I think in regular drafts, he may go a little bit deeper than this.
I hope he does. You know, I mean, the more I look at his stuff, one thing, if I were speculating that you'd like to see, he used his fastball a lot more this year. And what he did was he took away from this, I guess, the sinker usage. Sometimes those things can get a little mixed. And then the curveball had like...
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
Oh. Yeah, it didn't work out, right? This is one of my biggest misses of the season, for sure, was I had invested a decent amount in Pablo Lopez, and that first half ERA was 5.11. He did lower it to 2.77 in the second half. So much, much better in the second half. I think he's, you know, being ignored just a little bit, but I do think that there is a line where Gerrit Cole is and the pitchers, you know, above him. And then there's this line. And I do think he currently right now belongs below that line, because in those improvements in the second half, the K per nine did drop a decent amount as well. So it went from 10.47 in the first half to 8.52. When the walk rate stayed exactly the same, 1.99 in the first half, 1.99 in the second half. So I think maybe the strikeouts are, you know, not going to be there. I think he's more in the George Kirby area, Corbin Burns area of K per nine there. So that comes off. That's why I think he belongs down here a little bit. But this, I feel like, is a good deal for Pablo Lopez, because there is meat on the bone. There could be a little bit of improvement as well, but I think this is probably exactly where he belongs. But a lot of people are doubting him, and I think he gets skipped. I don't know if he goes here in a lot of drafts. I think this is like knowledgeable NFBC players seeing that second half and going, okay, he's going to go pretty high here. I think in regular drafts, he may go a little bit deeper than this.
I hope he does. You know, I mean, the more I look at his stuff, one thing, if I were speculating that you'd like to see, he used his fastball a lot more this year. And what he did was he took away from this, I guess, the sinker usage. Sometimes those things can get a little mixed. And then the curveball had like a 3% essentially lower usage. You'd almost like for him to throw that curveball more, because I think that curveball set up that sweeper. Because if you're looking at where the pitches are in the zone, from a release standpoint, you've got the four-seam fastball, you've got the sinker, and you've got the changeup all having that same trajectory. Well, now you threw the pitch that most equates to the same area of break as the sweeper. You just threw that less. I'm speculating because his sweeper was worse this year. The batting average against was a lot more. Hard hit rate, 22% hard hit rate the year prior, 35% this past year. So people were sitting on it more. Batting average against, 173, 239 this past year. So, you know, having less of the curveball, probably not the best idea. So maybe watch if he throws that a little bit more. Maybe that helps set up that sweeper to being more efficient. And that's what made him so great. And the K's can go up because that sweeper is a big strikeout pitch. So that would be like a speculative thing. And the reason I think it's important to mention that is that's a pretty easy fix. And if I'm looking at it, you can for sure know that they are looking at like usages and how can we be more efficient. Well, you upped your fastball usage and you got worse. I would predict you're probably going to see a lot less fastball this year. And by a lot less, like maybe 5%. And that curveball comes back in. He could be a really good buy. And as you mentioned, it's like an incredible second half. It's just another one of these guys where it's like you come back to the ultimate question. Do I want to pay the high prices? Skeens and Scooble are super valuable and stuff like that. And if I'm in a spot where it's a little bit of a value and I'm on a wheel, I probably would pull a trigger. But then if I miss out, if you start getting into the third and fourth round, I can take two elite hitters and then I might have a chance at getting a Crochet and a Snell or even Wait in first three round hitters. And I have a shot at a Snell and then a Pablo Lopez. I can manage that. I think I can do that. Pablo's a guy that's going to get me inning. Snell pitch like a top five overall SP. Those are the type of risk that I think make a little bit more sense, but completely avoiding starting pitcher is a little bit out of the question. But those are some crazy pitchers we just talked to you about. That's your top 15, I guess, SP1s and a 15-team roto. Next episode, we are going to get to hopefully 15 to 25 more to get in that SP2-3 range. Pretty fascinating group there, Boggs, on the, yeah, the starting pitchers. And it breaks your brain too, trying to break down pitchers sometimes.
Yeah, it's you know, that's what Spore called it a long time ago, the glob. And how, yeah, do you find separation? We're going to try to find some things to separate some of these pitchers for you in the primer.
Check it out, inthisleague.com. You want to check out the overall, my overall ranks, my dynasty ranks, my prospect ranks. There's a bunch of other cool stuff that's in there. You can be a part of the GroupMe rooms. Love to have you guys. And thank you for your support this episode. Like I said, it's kind of a holiday edition episode as we are getting ready for the new year, giving you guys the primer. Part two coming up next right here on the podcast feed. So make sure you are subscribed to it. You can follow us at Izzeth Welsh and at Bogman Sports. You guys have a fantastic one. And we will talk to you next time right here in this league.
See you.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.